All right, children, you may be dismissed. Mr. Levi and Mr. Ashton for Children's Church. And any that want to join them. And for the rest of us, let's please open our Bibles to John chapter 14. John 14. In John chapter 14. Last week, we looked at the first three verses of this chapter as we've continued studying through the Gospel of John. This morning, our text is John 14, verses 4 through 6. And so as we begin, if you will please read with me verses 4 through 6 of John 14. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for allowing us to be in church today. Thank you for ministering to our hearts through your word during the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the music that we've enjoyed, Lord, singing to you your praises, and also, Lord, just teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Thank you for those blessings. Thank you for our faithful musicians and their service to you and to us as your body. Lord, as we open thy word, we stop to ask for thy help and guidance in the study of your word. We ask that your spirit would keep the thoughts of the world from encroaching upon our hearts during this time, especially as we study your word. May our thoughts just be focused clearly and solely on you and on what you would say to us through your word. We ask that your spirit would give us utterance to be able to make your word clear and understandable, and that we, as your people, God, would receive your word with all readiness of mind, and that, Lord, we would be ready to respond and obey what you would say to us through your word today. Please bless in the children's ministry now. We ask that you'd help those young men as they give forth your word, that it would have free course and that you'd touch the hearts of those children. We thank you for Levi and Ashton. Ask for your hand of blessing on them. Lord, please help us to honor you throughout the remainder of the service and throughout the whole of this Lord's Day. May we be built up and refreshed in you. And again, may you be glorified in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jesus Christ is the living Word, and as such, he knows our hearts. He knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts, but beyond that, he knows the sorrows of our hearts. And he longs to heal the brokenhearted. He longs to bind up wounds. And so Jesus, in the earlier part of our text, John 14, verses 1 through 3, had comforted his disciples' troubled hearts by explaining to them that his forthcoming betrayal, death, and eventual departure were all part of his plan. He was going to prepare a place for believers with the Father. Through his shed blood, he would make heaven accessible to those who believe in him. And so this was all part of God's plan. It was necessary that Jesus would die and depart from his disciples. Now, Jesus did not elaborate on those things with his disciples because they weren't yet ready to receive or understand all that was involved in his good and perfect will. For the disciples, as well as for us today, it was enough to simply believe in Jesus as God, to know that he was in control, that his perfect plan was being accomplished, and that they would one day be with him again, never to be separated. And if we know the Lord Jesus Christ today, we have that same blessed hope. Now, these disciples were Jewish men, and the Jews were not expecting a Messiah to come, be with them for a short time, and then go somewhere else. The Jews were looking for a king, a Messiah, to come and rescue them from their enemies and set up an earthly kingdom. And so when Jesus in verse 4 says, And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Some of the disciples, one of them in particular, didn't get it. They're expecting him to go to Jerusalem and then and there set up an earthly kingdom, so they don't get it. They don't know, Lord, where you're going and how to get there. This one disciple in particular is Thomas. Now, Thomas was the well-noted doubter, pessimist, and skeptic among the disciples. We often refer to him as Doubting Thomas. And in verse 5, Thomas responds to the Lord's statement with these words, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas ever seemed to misunderstand what Jesus was saying. Earlier in this book, in chapter 11, Jesus had told his disciples, hey, let's go again into Judea, where he's going to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. But the disciples didn't get it. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And Thomas was among them that were confused. Nevertheless, John 11:16 says this, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, or twin, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. So Thomas was often confused. He misunderstood Jesus' words, and yet Thomas was loyal to the Lord Jesus. He was willing to go and die, even though he misunderstood what Jesus was saying. Now, Thomas mostly receives bad advertisement, or as one person put it, fake news. And the fact is, the Lord Jesus Christ always dealt with eternal realities. Jesus was always dealing with important things. And so with things so important, Thomas wanted to be completely certain. And that's a good thing. It's better to be completely and accurately certain than to be deluded in false hope. And so Thomas's asking questions was not a problem. He sought answers and he was loyal to Jesus. And also we need to mention that even here in our text in verse 4, though Thomas didn't understand what Jesus had said, he does speak respectfully to the Lord. He's not speaking sarcastically or disrespectfully. He addresses him as Lord. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Likewise, when we have misunderstandings, when we have questions, that's the right attitude with which to approach our Lord. And like Thomas, when we come with that kind of attitude, seeking answers to our questions before God, He will give us an answer of peace. Sometimes we don't come with that attitude and we go away in our ignorance still. Thomas has the right attitude. He has some misunderstanding here. Psalm 86 and verse 11, though the psalmist prayed, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. When you have that kind of attitude, God will give you wisdom. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Jesus is the wisdom of God, according to 1 Corinthians 1:24. And if we come to him seeking wisdom, right spirit, we will receive an answer. Now, for our message this morning, we're going to explore this topic together. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer, as we see that Jesus himself was the answer to Thomas' question about Jesus' whither and way statement. What we learned this morning from these verses of Scripture is going to help us understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer for how to have eternal life and how to have an abundant earthly life. So this morning, as we consider that subject, Jesus is the answer, we're going to look at the two questions, the whither question and the way question. Okay, the first question, the whither question. Verse 6 or verse 5 again, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Now, Jesus was not mistaken when he said in verse 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas contradicted the Lord. But Jesus hadn't made a mistake. The fact is, Thomas and his friends already knew both the whither or the to where Jesus was going, and they knew the way, they just didn't realize it. Jesus was going to help them recognize and realize some truth that they already knew, but were not mindful or recognizing. You see, in comforting his disciples' troubled hearts, Jesus had in the immediately preceding verses told them that he was going to prepare a place for his followers in the Father's house. So he just said implicitly, I'm going to the Father's house. I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. Now, granted, Jesus was using somewhat figurative language, and yet it was plain enough to see that Jesus was referring to God the Father in heaven. And yet, if that were not clear enough, in verse 6, the latter part of verse 6, Jesus explicitly answers the whither question with these words, cometh unto the Father. I'm going to the Father's house to prepare a place. Jesus, when he was talking about whither he was going, he was talking about going to the Father and the disciples later coming to him, coming with him to the Father. And the one thing we want to mention here is that Jesus, when he gives this answer, he does not say, goeth unto the Father. He does not say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, Jesus, as God the Son, was himself in the Father. And to come unto the Father is to come to Jesus, and vice versa. And so our thought is this, that Jesus is the answer for the whither question. Coming unto the Father is coming to Jesus. In John 6 and verse 65, Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except it were given him of my Father. He said in the next verse, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the Father draws us to the Son, and we must come unto him and drink. We come to Christ. Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So in salvation, we come to Jesus as we come to the Father. And as we come to the Father, we are coming to the Son. Jesus is the answer to the whither question. And when we leave this life and we go to the Father, we will at the same time be going unto the Son. So Jesus is the answer to the whither question. Secondly, and primarily though, Jesus is the answer to the way question. Again, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So as Thomas and the other disciples did not immediately grasp Jesus' words about whither or to where he was going and whither they would later come, it was reasonable then that they would also not recognize the way to get there. If you don't know the destination, you don't know the direction, how to get to that destination. But again, as Jesus explains, they already knew Jesus, and therefore they already knew the way. Because Jesus explains that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the answer to the way question, how we come to the Father. We need to recognize that Jesus did not come to earth to show us the way, or even just to make a way, but he himself is the way. Jesus is exclusively the way. He did not say, I am a way. No, he is the way. He is the only way of salvation, the only way to the Father. There may be many roads which lead to a common destination, such as the statement, all roads lead to Rome. But not all roads lead to the Father. I heard Dr. Les Olala in a message say this. He was witnessing to a man in the north, and Brother Olala has just a great sense of humor, but anyhow, he was talking to this man and explaining to him that Jesus Christ is the one way of salvation. The man says, well, we can take this road and this road and this road and this road, and we can all end up in Detroit. And Dr. Olala said, well, I didn't ask you if you're going to go to Detroit when you die. Who wants to go to Detroit when they die? No. He said, I asked you if you want to go to heaven when you die. And Jesus is the only way. John 10 and verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. To Timothy, Paul said, of God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Jesus is the answer to the way question. He is the way. He is exclusively the way. We also might mention here that though Jesus is the only way, he is accessible to whosoever will believe on him. The only limitations placed on people regarding salvation is that which they place upon themselves by rejecting Jesus Christ. And we might add to that, it's the limitation that we as Christians place on an unsaved world when we don't tell them the way. We're responsible. How can they believe on him of whom they've not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? That's our responsibility, to tell others that Jesus is the true, the only living way. Now, in his answer, Jesus did not merely say, I am the way, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he adds to that, I am the way, the truth. Jesus is not only the way, but he is also the truth. The question that Pilate asked, what is truth, was not the right question. The question is not what is truth, but who is truth? Because all truth is sourced in a person, Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. He is the truth. That's in contrast to Satan, who is a liar and the father of lies. When Jesus says that he is the truth, he's also saying that he is true, that he is faithful. He can be trusted. He is trustworthy. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Paul said of the church at Thessalonica that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Jesus Christ is the truth. An application for us as Christians is this: if we know Jesus, the truth, we have no business serving false gods. We have no business living for the world's lie. And that's what John says. This is the true God. He is the truth. Keep yourselves from idols, a lying vanity, something that says, hey, I'll satisfy you, but it's just a lie. It's only a dream. Revelation 3:7, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Jesus is true. To the church at Philadelphia, he explained that he is true to those who are true to him and his word. They had a little strength and they had not denied his name. He said, he that is holy, he that is true. And if Jesus ever ceased to be true, he would cease to be holy. Now, Jesus is answering, though, the question, the way. We don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth. And Jesus' answer implies this, that if you're going to get to the Father, you not only must know the way, but you've got to have the truth. You can't come to the Father without the truth. You see, the most well-constructed and well-intended lie, which can be said of all religions which reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the only way to the Father, will not get a person there. He's the truth. And without the truth, you don't get to the Father. Those who reject the way of the Lord Jesus Christ will go the way of Cain, which is self-righteousness and self-subscribed ways of worship. But Jesus further now explains that those who reject the truth, the love of the truth, which is Jesus Christ, will likewise receive the lie and the liar. There are many today who are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is coming one on this world's scene, if he's not already present somewhere on earth, who is going to be the lie incarnate. Jesus is the truth, but there's coming a liar, and those who reject the way will go the way of Cain and end up in hell, and those who reject the truth will receive the lie. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 of this man whom we refer to as the Antichrist. There are many Antichrists, but it seems very explicit in Scripture that there is coming one final Antichrist, a man of sin. And here's his work. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Could even be said the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So may I ask you, do you know the way? Do you know the truth? Without the way and without the truth, you don't get to the Father. And we also need to recognize that if Jesus is the truth, and we claim to follow Jesus, then we need to be characterized by being truthful and being true. If we're walking the way and following the truth, we ought to be truthful. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Paul said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for members one of another. John said, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, that is, the Spirit of truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. As we walk in the Spirit of truth, we're following Christ, we will abide in him who is the truth. Now, Jesus' answer to the way question is this: I am the way. I am the truth. And lastly, I am the life. The life. John describes in chapter 1 of this book, verses 1 through 4, that Jesus was in the beginning, and in the beginning, in him, was life. And the life was the light of man. Jesus is the life. He is the life. Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is abundant earthly life. Jesus is the answer for life. In John 10 and verse 10, he said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." But again, as Jesus being the life is in direct answer to the way to the Father, we further learn here that to come to the Father, we must know the way, we must have the truth, we must know and believe the truth, and we've got to have life. If you're going to come to the Father, you've got to have those three things. You must have life. Why? Because spiritually speaking, you and I were stillborn. We were born dead in trespasses and sins, as the Bible describes it. And only as we repent of our sins and receive Jesus, the life, will He make us alive. He will regenerate us and bring us to the Father. You don't get to the Father unless you have the life through Christ, and He brings you to the Father. You've got to have these things, this life. Jesus is the life. Only those who have Jesus have life. Paul told us in the book of Romans that by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We were born dead in sin, and Paul said in Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." And John, in his first general epistle, said this, "This is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Thomas, you say you don't know the whither, you don't know the way. I am the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. And if you have Me, you've got the way, you've got the truth, and you have the life. But you can have religion and not have life. You can have lies and not have the life. And finally, if we are followers of Jesus, who is the truth, we ought to be true, faithful, truthful. But if we are followers of Jesus, the life, then He too should be our life. And His life should be lived through us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 and 11, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." As we die to self through many trials, Jesus, the life, then is able to live through us. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." He told the church at Philippi, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Jesus, Paul found the answer for life, for eternal life, as well as earthly life. And Paul told the church at Colossae, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." So Thomas and the other believing disciples, with the exception of Judas, knew Jesus. And therefore the Lord was correct when He said, "You know the way." They knew the answer to the whither and way questions. And if we know Jesus, then we know the way to the Father. We have eternal life. And we can live an abundant earthly life as we let Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, live through us. Jesus is the answer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you provided for us the way, the only way of salvation in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that every person here today would not leave this building without that full assurance that they know the way. They're on the way. They know the truth. They have the life in Jesus Christ. And then we who know you, we have that full assurance, God, I pray that we would genuinely follow you, that we would find in you our life, that we would find you our truth, God, that we would not live for the world's lies and deception, but that we would live alone for Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question? Have you repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your Lord? Have you received the truth? Have you received the life? Are you alive in Christ today? The Bible tells us that there is a book called the Book of Life. And only those who have believed on Jesus and received his life have their names inscribed in that book. Is your name in that book? Are you certain that you're God's child? Is there anyone here today that would say, preacher, today I want to make certain of this. And as best as I know how, right here and right now before God, I'm saying, God, I recognize that I'm a sinner, that I cannot save myself. I realize that I cannot get to God except through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And today I want to receive Him. If that's your decision this morning, would you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, yes, today I would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And by raising your hand, that's the testimony you're giving. All right, Christian, are you living as a follower of the way, the truth, and the life? Are you telling others the way? Now, some folks don't know where and they don't know the way because they haven't been told. Are you telling others the way? Are you speaking and walking in truth? Are you being true, loyal, and faithful, as is Jesus, who is the truth? And is Jesus your life? Or has some idol, some other thing, some other person taken his place in your heart? Is Jesus Christ living his life through you? Father, again, thank you for giving us your word. Pray that you'd use it to sanctify our lives, to make us more like your Son, to help us to live for you, and that you would live through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.